How we doing, Joey?
Sup, Dev? How you doing today, bro? We're back with a new edition of the Dope Play Podcast after a week off. How you feeling, fam?
Feeling a lot better than last week. I could barely speak. That's why, you know, we had to
go. Yeah, those allergies had you in a head vice over there, pal.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, we're back. Sports are back. You know, Red Sox, their season's over. I can say that as a Red Sox fan. You know, Patriots season's just around the corner, and I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We can taste the pig skin. Tastes like burnt bacon under that hot sun.
I mean, I got to feel bad. Many people are writing off the Patriots right now, saying that they're going to have a terrible season. I mean,
So you've swung back into the optimistic vibe after last week, where you were hedging towards team pessimism with myself and Mike Giardi and you know, all the pundits who have covered the Patriots through training camp.
Well, I mean,
Greg Berard, obviously another one.
Right. Many people are saying that we could go 4-13, 6-11, you know, 7-10's the limit. But I still think that this Patriots team can go 10-7. I still have high hopes for this team.
Devin's got high hopes. I hope you're right, buddy. I'd love to work a playoff game in January, but I wouldn't hedge my bets. The Bills, they'd have to suffer some significant injuries for the Patriots to be a threat to them. And that's how I'm looking at it, Dev, is it's not your old AFC East. The Bills are probably your perennial AFC contender, most likely. The Dolphins are at the very least on your level, if not slightly better. And the Jets are a giant question mark. The Zach Wilson injury probably helps you. So you're probably better than the Jets, but the Dolphins could be a wash. They've played you tough, including last year. I know Flores ain't there anymore, but I don't know, Dev. I wish I was drinking your optimism with this Patriot. I know they had a good practice in Vegas yesterday. The practice the day before, I heard, was not so good against former friend Josh McDaniels and the Raiders.
Yeah. The only high hopes I'm hearing out of the defense is Jalen Mills has been doing a whole lot better than he did a couple weeks ago. So
a lot of people have him as a potential. I know the season hasn't even started yet, but maybe someone who could break out as a Pro Bowl contender. I really liked him coming in last year, but he really did not have a great year. But right. Sometimes it takes a year to get used to the terminology and everything. So I'm open minded with leap.
Yeah, many people are talking about how well Kyle Duggar's been doing too. You know, young guy, you know, was a third year for Kyle Duggar. So I think that he could have a pretty solid season, and we're getting Jonathan Jones back. So I have a lot of high hopes for this Patriots team. You know, we have Devontae Parker, you know, first year as a Patriot. I think if he can
– think about these Kendrick Bourne rumors? A lot of people feel like he may be on the trade block. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm not liking it because, you know – I was expecting him to be our top wide receiver this upcoming season, minus Devontae Parker, and, you know, him being a former, you know, 49er, and he was basically our best wide receiver coming off of last season. So, I mean, business is business, but
being someone who's followed the Patriots since maybe 1994, and, you know, who's been around Gillette Stadium the past 20 years, worked at EEI the past 4 or 5. I'm not optimistic with this team. I really am not. I wish I had reason to be. I saw it with my own eyes against Carolina. They just look like a shell of themselves. Belichick sitting there trying on UFC belts instead of doing the extra work there in training camp. And, you know, people want to talk about Brady and, you know, his excused 11-day absence and all the nonsense of the Brady brand that seems to be affecting the Bucks.
Yeah.
But can we talk about Bill Belichick? I mean, he's sitting there barely practicing his guys, barely having them in shorts. This is when you have a transition of offense going on. Not even bringing in a guy who knows the offense, leaning on bozos like Patricia and Judge to administer this offense, having Matt Jones essentially read scripts like, oh, Patricia's the most genius coach I've ever been around. BS. Right. I'd like a light, a polygraph on Mac on that statement.
Exactly. Like, I'm just a little bit optimistic about this, you know, OC. That's the only thing I'm kind of worried about. And, you know, how well our defense is going to do against, you know, semi-decent teams that we played this season.
Yeah, and I really think, you know, come September is going to show what this team is capable of. Obviously, you have some tough games in the beginning of the year. You kind of have some easy ones in the middle of the year. I wouldn't be shocked if it's a similar year as last year, Dev, where we got off to a rough start, had a good middle, and then, you know, the NFL, they pack all the good matchups at the end of the year now.
I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, we start off with a mini decent, you know, schedule, facing off against the Dolphins, facing off against the, you know, Steelers, which I could see as probably going either over two or possibly maybe, I don't know, 2-for-2, hopefully.
The Steelers, it's a winnable game. From what I've heard, Pickett, the young quarterback they drafted last year, has actually looked a lot better than Mitch Trubisky in Steelers camp. So that's a situation to follow. But, I mean, you know, they have some decent weapons. They have a good running back in Najee Harris. Good defense, obviously, led by T.J. Watt. Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a bunny by any stretch of the imagination. And Pittsburgh did squeak into the playoffs last year. A lot of people forget that. And that was with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback, who was essentially a rotting tree at that point.
Right. I mean, here's the thing. If they still had Big Ben, I could probably toss that off, because I think Big Ben could probably torch us around and probably, you know, have
to. Yeah, I'm actually more nervous of him this year than last year, because I thought Ben was a shell of himself last year. Where this year, at least, whether it's Pickett, who would have more athleticism to worry about, or even Trubisky, you know, I'm not saying Trubisky's a Hall of Famer like Ben, but Ben the last 2 years was not playing at the level that we were accustomed to Ben playing, Devin.
No, exactly. You know, that's why I'm a little bit, you know, nervous for this Patriots team, the first four games, because I'm scared that we could possibly go 0-4 in the first week of September, possibly.
First 7 minutes of the podcast, I've already had you from optimistic to 0-4 in September. We're off to a roaring start.
great start off for the Patriots season. I mean, that's how much, you know, I have in this Patriots team. I mean, sure, like before everything, I was like, yeah, this Patriots can also, you know, win some games. But, you know, also they could go 2-for-2 or even 1-for-3, probably winning the game against the Ravens. That could be a huge possibility. But
I think they could beat the Ravens. I think the Ravens are kind of on your level this year. I know people like to overrate Lamar Jackson. He's an incredible athletic specimen. I mean, they lost their best receiver. You're counting on J.K. Dobbins to come back from a horrific injury in last year's preseason. So I wouldn't bet the bookie that Baltimore's. And plus, Baltimore, you know, you get Cincinnati in that division. Pittsburgh, I feel like, is better than Baltimore this year. So I feel like Baltimore's a winnable game. That's in Baltimore, right?
Yeah. No. This one's actually.
That's the first home game, the 18th?
Yeah.
Oh, man, the first home game against Baltimore. See, they come up. The one thing about Baltimore is they're not scared of Belichick. That Harbaugh-led team has proven that. And I've seen teams that had no business giving the Patriots trouble hand the Patriots an L in Foxborough in the past, those Ravens teams. So.
Right, and I remember, like, back to when Tom Brady was on the Patriots, that playoff game. That we absolutely looked terrible with Tom.
Yeah, Brady. That was the game where Ray Rice went off. That was a 28-0 loss. True story. Me and my friends Jared and Chris got there so early that we got bored in the parking lot and drove to Boston and then got back just in time for check-in. And then, yeah, that ended up being a nightmare of a game, certainly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wow. I mean, I remember that 2013.
I think it was 28-0. Ray Rice treated you like Jhené Rice in that game.
Yeah, it seems like it. But, you know, I really hope that I'm wrong about this year's Patriots. You know, I'm riding them off at, you know, 7-10 is my, you know, ceiling is 7-7, and my ground is
I hope, like I said, as someone who's been around the Patriots organization for 20 years, who works the games, I want a reason to feel excited. I don't. You know, but at the same time, I feel like Patriot fans need to get a reality check here. And it is not the norm to be in the AFC Championship every year.
No.
I'm not here to swing from Tom Brady's pelvis. You know, I'm a Tom Brady fan. But Tom Brady ain't walking through that door, to quote the great Rick Pitino. He's long gone. Tampa's door at this point. So, to me, I think people need to curb their enthusiasm and need to realize, hey, we're a member of the pack again. We're not, you know, that dynastic team. I know Belichick is there, but he's 70 years old. And I think even he's at the point where, you know, his last goal would be to pass Don Shula for the wins mark. That could take and even that could take a few years. I don't know if he's got that much time left as a 7-year-old. Belichick said in the past he didn't want to be like a Marv Levy coaching in his mid-70s, and he's already getting there.
No, and I'm hoping that Bill Belichick can pass Don Shula and hopefully, you know, break his record.
As a Dolphins hater, I do too.
Right, right. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, this Patriots team is very, very rocky right now. It's, you know, we're basically
You know, we ain't talking about Rocky Balboa when he was in camp in Rocky too.
No, no, exactly. But, you know,
it feels like league is Apollo Creed right now, and we're the underdog fighting in the streets of Foxborough, literally fighting in against the Panthers last week. Thankfully, there were no fights from what I heard against the Raiders this week. Although, with Josh there, you'd figured it would be a respectable vibe.
Right, exactly. And our old friend was there too, Julian Edelman. He brought his cleats to LA to Las Vegas.
That's interesting. I did not hear Edelman was hanging out. That's cool.
Yeah. He even said, like,
hopefully they're not trying to replace Troy Brown with him. I know Troy Brown got some heat from Belichick last week for Kendrick Bourne not having his knee pad on or whatever.
Right. I mean, I really hope, you know, going back to the whole Kendrick Bourne saga, I really hope that we keep Kendrick Bourne. I really hope that, you know, the rumors aren't true about, you know, us trading him.
The fact is, you look at the price tag for wide receivers now. This guy is on a cheap price tag. He knows the offensive system we're trying to install. Perhaps he's not a fan of it, because, like I've said in the past, it's not like he was a prime weapon in San Francisco. He was behind Debo. He was behind Ayuk. He was behind the running backs. He was behind Kittle. He was even behind Juszczyk at times. So, it's, you know, maybe he came in to Josh McDaniels' offense. He flourished in Josh McDaniels' offense last year. He actually expressed frustration. I've been watching some clips during the draft. Mac had like a draft party with all the offense, and he was expressing some displeasure, I guess you could say, on the Belichick trading back and then selecting Cole Strange. So I don't know. I've seen this in the past. Well, I was getting at before with covering the Patriots and being around the Patriots for 20 years. You know, we all love Randy Moss. In my opinion, the greatest receiver of all time, at least from an athletic standpoint. Once he started shooting his mouth off, it was not long when he was shipped out of town.
Right, exactly.
About his contract, about his use. It took that quickly for a future Hall of Famer to get shipped out like that.
No, and I was really hoping that Randy Moss could win a couple Super Bowls.
Me too.
That's when he was on the team, but, you know.
Yeah, he had a chance with San Francisco and didn't play much in that game.
No, exactly, and people forget that he used to play for San Francisco before he actually.
That's what I'm saying. That was his last team in that year that they made the Super Bowl against the Ravens with Kaepernick as quarterback. He was on that roster.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, I was hoping he could win some, but, you know, going back to Kendrick Bourne, I really hope that he really stays on the team because he's basically a speed boost out there for the Patriots, and, you know, he was basically like the kind of glue kind of situation we needed in for the Patriots, and, you know. If we do trade him away.
He was our best wide receiver by far last year. Now, Aguilar seems like he's, you know, improved, at least based on what we've seen in the co-scrimmages. Obviously, Parker is going to be a featured guy. They don't have enough depth. They already lost Tyquan Thornton for a significant part of the season with the collarbone injury. So, to me, you need all hands on deck. And they can't afford to trade a wide receiver right now, in my opinion.
No, I know. I've been hearing that the Patriots are looking to trade for Isaiah Wynn, too, so I don't know who we're going to get in return for him.
I could see him getting traded to the Bucs. They need offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah. They need all the help that they can at O-line.
So I could definitely see that trade happening. No doubt about it, buddy.
Yeah, with their two O-lines going down, yeah, they need all the help that they can get right now, basically. But speaking of rocky situations, I was at the Patriots practice last Wednesday, and
we missed each other. I was there Tuesday. I missed you by one day.
Damn. But I kind of saw
Sam. Although I was supposed to work Wednesday, and I heard it was going to rain. Although it didn't end up raining in camp, so I'm glad you got a nice day out of it.
Oh yeah, it was supposed to downpour rain, and you know, brought my raincoat and an umbrella. I was there with my mom's good friend Amy, there, huge Patriot fan. You know, we were there. I kind of saw Sam Darnold outperforming Baker Mayfield.
See, that's funny because they just named Baker the starter for week one.
Right. And, you know, that's why I was a little bit optimistic about, you know, the Carolina Panthers. Did they make the right decision in starting Baker Mayfield? I mean, in hindsight, Joe, it is correct to go with Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold, but in those joint practices, it was definitely Sam Darnold outperforming Baker Mayfield on Wednesday's joint practices.
I mean, let's face it, though. Those joint practices with all the fights and everything, they were chaotic. I mean, were you close to the brawls on Wednesday?
Yeah. I saw
someone spilled right close. That was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, one was on, like, a kickoff, and one of them was when they do joint practices and they were doing the 12-on-12s. And apparently, Dietrich Weiss hit Christian McCaffrey a little bit too extra.
It was all in response to the day before from the hit on Wilkerson, from what I understand.
Yeah, and
That's what got him going on Tuesday, was that hit on Wilkerson. Then there was a few fights. A few people got thrown out, including Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, Wilkerson on Wednesday was out on a stretcher. I guess someone hit him a little bit extra too hard. So I didn't even see this until I read something on Twitter saying Wilkerson was. I was like, oh, crap, I didn't even see that happen. But
those were rough co-scrimmages, man. I've worked a lot of co-scrimmages over the years against teams like the Packers and the Eagles and the Giants. And, yeah, that was probably some of the roughest co-scrimmages in terms of fights and just the energy I've ever seen.
I mean, here's the thing. It was great to see the fights, don't get me wrong, because, you know, during those practices, it's like, you know, kind of boring to watch the plays and not, like, you know, any physical things happen, but I was there rooting for the fights because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that likes to see physical things happen. So it was a very joyful
It must
thing.
Have been exciting. And even Tuesday, you know, you could feel the excitement in the crowd. Thankfully, I kind of stayed away from the crowd, so I didn't get tackled while I was selling frozen lemonade. I ended up on I sold all the frozen lemonade they had Tuesday and then ended up on a water cart.
Oh, nice. But, yeah, you know, going back to the Patriots, I'm very excited to see what this team wants to see. I really hope that, you know, both of us are wrong about our predictions about the Patriots, but I really hope that they're out there to surprise everyone, because I think that they're...
As we know, when the games start, things can happen. What if Josh Allen gets hurt? We've seen already a few injuries in the preseason. I'm not wishing that on him. But if that happens, then all of a sudden this division is wide open.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm not hoping that, you know, Josh Allen does get hurt. Don't get me wrong. He's a top three quarterback in the league, but... It could be a possibility that, you know, Josh Allen goes down for the season. You never know.
Anything can happen. We saw what Brady first hit of the year, 2009, after the undefeated season. He's out for the year with that vicious hit on his knee from Bernard Pollard. So that's my point, is anything can happen.
Right, exactly. That's why, you know, what is it? The season starts, what, a week or two from now? From Thursday, if I'm correct? 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, the first Patriot game would be Sunday the 11th. So yeah. Tuesday the 8th would be the first. Thursday the 8th, rather, would be the first game.
And I think that's what, Buffalo versus
the Rams?
The Rams, yep.
I believe so.
I'm excited about that. You know, I think we can go 0-1. I'm hoping that, you know, Matthew Stafford and
New. Well, the Rams could do us a favor if they beat the Bills in that first game, no doubt about it.
Right, it would start them at 0-1, and then, you know.
And the Bills are going to have a tough schedule, so we'll see how they play up to that.
I mean, many people are saying, I've been seeing on TikTok that people are saying the Bills are going 13-4, maybe even 10-7, but I think that, you know, it could be a very even out AFC East where both the Bills, Dolphins, and the Patriots go 10-7, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, that would be quite interesting if it comes down to a three-horse race in December. That'd be very, you know, exciting to cover here on the podcast and on EEI and everything.
No, exactly. And I hope that all the teams go 10-7 minus the Jets. Because here's the thing. Sure, did the Jets improve during the draft? Yes, they did. But I really don't see them really going anywhere. But, you know,
to me, the Wilson injury will affect them. He's going to miss a couple of games at least. That's going to set him back. You know, I know you – kind of have a fondness for Joe Flacco, but let's face it, he's old and dirt at this point. Surprising that they didn't make a play on a Jimmy G or a Baker Mayfield or one of these quarterbacks that were out there.
I was expecting the Jets, maybe even the Seahawks, at least, you know, go for him or something like that. But just to see, you know, Jimmy G still on the trade block, and, you know, I still expect him to go to the Giants. I think the Giants are the best play for Garoppolo right now. I think that he could be a better guy on the bench until, you know, Daniel Jones starts sucking as he usually does. So
we'll see. I mean, they got Brian Daboll there. who is the brain trust behind that Buffalo offense. We'll see how the loss of Dabo affects the Buffalo offense, and conversely, how Dabo's presence as the head coach will affect Daniel Jones, Saquon, and the rest of the Giants.
No, and that's why I think that, you know, Bill Belichick and the Patriots can win Week One against, you know, a rookie head coach, and, you know, in the Dolphins, because usually Bill Belichick does win against rookie head coaches. So I hope that, you know.
Generally speaking, yes, but Dabo's a good offensive coach. You know, he's one of those new age type of coaches like McVay. So we'll see. But the problem with me that I have with Belichick is the game passing him by. You know, it happens to everybody. You know, at a certain point, you get to a certain age. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, even though this old dog's trying to teach some new tricks that he doesn't even have the knowledge to teach. I don't know why he doesn't bring in his buddy Mike Shanahan for a couple of days for some film session or something.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, I really hope that, you know, this season goes well. I've been saying that, you know, every team in the AFC West playoffs and possibly maybe every team in the AFC East. I think that's going to be up for grabs, too. I think both the East and the West are going to have some pretty interesting seasons, Joe, I think.
The West, I mean, every team has the craziest ceiling and floor. Like, the Raiders could win the division. The Raiders could miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs could win the playoffs. Same with the Chargers, same with the Broncos. I'm probably, you know, not as high in the Broncos as some people. Apparently on Twitter, there's like a bunch of people who are kind of like down on Russell Wilson. I feel like I was one of the first people to start talking about the fact that Russell has not really been stellar the last couple of years in Seattle. So my expectations on him in Denver are not as high as some would have.
Well, the problem for me with the Broncos is that they don't have a certified. If they went out to get like a Devontae Adams, maybe like a Tyreek Hill, I'd be like, okay, I'm calling the Broncos a contender. But right now,
you're hoping that Jerry Jeudy takes that step, but we don't know that. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't put him in the category of Justin Jefferson, even Van Jefferson, even Amon St. Brown from the Lions. By the way, have you seen any of the Lions' Hard Knocks?
No, I have. I've heard about them. I haven't
seen. I've seen the first two episodes. The third one got posted this week. I want to watch it today. Really good, entertaining watch. They have so many former players on their coaching staff, from Deuce Staley to Aaron Glenn to even the head coach Campbell. And I like their approach. I like their energy. Obviously, they're playing some stuff up for the cameras. Hutchinson looks like an absolute star from his play in practice and on the field to how he carries himself. I really think he's going to be the next great defender in this league. Maybe the next Aaron Donald, to put it in most recent terms, you know, or a Strahan or a John Randall. You know, he's got that personality, even does the Michael Jackson leg gyration for his sack dance. Even sung Billie Jean as kind of like a rite of passage to the team. Campbell had him go up to the team and sing Billie Jean, and they all sung it with him.
Oh, yeah, I saw about that, but you know what? I'm very high on the Lions. I have very high expectations for this team. You know, for a team that hasn't been in the Super Bowl or won one in a while or forever, I really hope that one of these seasons that they actually do well.
Absolutely. And I said it on EEI. I think the Lions could be one of those teams to make a giant leap. They're motivated. You know, they're trying to hype up Swift like he can be one of the best running backs in the game. Deuce Staley's really on him as the offensive assistant head coach and the running backs coach. If you remember Deuce Staley, the running back from Philadelphia back in the day.
No, I don't remember that. But
before your time. See, it's funny. All the players on the side, I remember all of them playing. Your Aaron Glenn, who was with the Jets, where some of them would be before your time, but some of them you remember. But yeah, no, definitely me being 37 years old, seeing a lot of these guys play in the 90s, it's cool seeing them coach now.
Right, exactly. But I really wish that Barry and Calvin Johnson, when they were on the team, that they won a Super Bowl. I mean, Calvin Johnson, not even making the playoffs, like, yo. And he was just one of the greatest wide
receivers. Oh, that's the thing is, they're trying to establish a culture in Detroit. A culture of losing has permeated the Lions for as long as I've followed that team again. Maybe since the early 90s, since Barry was there. Maybe even before 94, because I was kind of into football before I got into the Patriots. So they're trying to turn around the culture in Detroit. I like the cut of Campbell's jib. you know, some people could say, oh, he's one of these rah-rah guys, or, you know, one of these bro jock guys. I like the culture they're establishing, and watching it on Hard Knocks makes me excited that they could be in the mix. Again, with Green Bay losing receivers in the offseason, I'm not encouraged by Green Bay, you know, Aaron Rodgers showing up cosplaying like he's Nicolas Cage.
Right.
I'm not encouraged that the Packers are going to be on a Super Bowl run this year. A lot of people have the Vikings as the team to win the division. Devin, the Vikings always find a way to screw it up. Always, always, always. Going back to when they were 15-1 in 1998 and had Randy Moss, and that should have been Randy Moss's championship, oh, by the way, and screwed up the kick. Gary Anderson, their kicker, was perfect all season and missed the kick that he needed to make in the playoffs against the Falcons.
Right,
it was Broncos Falcons as opposed to Broncos Vikings, which is the matchup everybody wanted that year. So the Viking, you know, whether it's, you know, botching over the years in the draft, or, you know, Kirk Cousins, you like that? He's always a guy that screws it up. You know, good stats, good fantasy guy, but in terms of winning games, maybe he'll win you a fantasy league, but I don't know if he's gonna win you a national championship in football. You know, I love Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook I love, but he's got this injury that affects him. You know, a customer when I was working at the mall last year was telling me about it, or I think one of my coworkers actually. He's got this injury that it's going to affect him every year.
Right. And the Patriots play the Vikings this year, I think right around Thanksgiving, if I'm correct.
Yeah, actually on Thanksgiving. They are traveling to Minnesota to play the night game on Thanksgiving, from what I understand.
Right, and I think that the Patriots can possibly win that game, because I really don't have any fear in the Vikings. Of course, I think the Vikings can win that game. I think easily the Patriots can win that game.
That's a game that your defense got to win for you. You can't let Jefferson go off in that game. I know here we go previewing a game from that's going to be in late November, but we don't even know what this Patriots team is going to look like in late November, quite frankly.
Right.
What trades will happen? Belichick has been known to pull off trades in October before the trade deadline. If you remember, he acquired Aqib Talib couple years ago at the trade deadline. So I wouldn't put it past Bill if we're in it to make a couple moves in October. I would not.
I would have to see what the team looks like by October in order for us to be like, oh yeah, you know, this team is like, you know,
if they're 0-4, then they ain't making no moves to add. They'll sell. And quite frankly, a lot of people feel like this is a bridge year anyway, because they have a lot of money to spend coming into next year's offseason. So next year's offseason may be the offseason where they break the bank again like they did a couple of years ago.
I think, you know, this coming up season will be a very interesting one. I think we'll barely make the playoffs, and I think we'll acquire and get a lot of good free agents like we did, you know, in the year before, where we got Hunter Henry, John Smith, you know, and everything. So – and I think that'll be our season. Like, you know, I think this year.
And if Belichick has goals and aspirations to get back to the playoffs, to pass Shula, he's going to need a good team to do it. He can't do it going 5-12 every year.
No. You can't go, like, you know, 7-11 almost every season.
He's going to need, like, 3 seasons of 10-plus wins to catch Shula, essentially.
Right. And don't get me wrong. Bill Belichick's a great head coach. I think that he can still do it for the Patriots. I think that, you know, he has a scene. I think he made the Patriots look bad during practice. I think that, you know, I think it's one of his, like, you know, devilish schemes that Bill Belichick is up to.
And that's a conspiracy theory for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Belichick tanks training camp and preseason to trick the league. I wouldn't put it past him. I'll say that.
Right. I mean, he's done so many schemes to make, you know, the Patriots look bad so that, you know, the Patriots can do some devilish and great plays so that, you know, no one can discover the Patriots out. I mean, I could be wrong.
He ain't lying.
I mean, yes, we have we don't have Josh McDaniels, which I'm very happy that we got rid of. No more of these dumb, stupid, you know, let's go for a screen on 3rd and 22, or hey, let's go for a run play on 3rd and 7. Like, you know.
See, you and I have very different opinions on McDaniels. I understand your criticism, and those play calls didn't sit well with me either. However, that was Max Guy last year. And we've seen with young quarterbacks, when they have multiple changes at the offensive coordinator, it a lot of times does not affect them in a positive way.
No.
Never mind, you know, bringing in bozos like Patricia and Judge to teach something that they don't even have the knowledge to teach. Max saying, oh, yeah, we're teaching each other in regards to Judge, in regards to Patricia. Is that what you want to hear your second-year quarterback say? That we're teaching each other with the offensive coordinator or the play caller or whatever title or lack thereof is going to be? I mean, for me, I hear that and I get concerned where, you know, I wanted Josh McDaniels today to stay. And apparently the Patriots made no effort to retain the services of Josh McDaniels. And my conspiracy theory on that was they knew it was time for Josh to go bet on himself. He was convinced to come back after essentially being hired by the Colts in 2018. We got a few more years out of him. You know, but he's a guy who he was going to be known as Belichick's number two forever had he not bet on himself. And I like to think he's doing a lot better job, Dev, of setting him up for success in Las Vegas than he did in Denver with drafting Tim Tebow. Although he did draft the likes of Demaryius Thomas, RIP, and Eric Decker and some other solid pieces that would end up contributing to their championship run a few years later with Peyton. But, yeah, and Josh actually did start out 6-0 with the Broncos before the wheels came off there.
Right, right. Because remember, this did happen years ago when, you know, Josh McDaniels, he was going to sign a deal with the Indianapolis Colts, but then, you know, Kraft and Bill had a little talk with Josh McDaniels and brought him back.
And, I was watching Tom Curran speak yesterday. He said that had the Patriots made an effort to retain Josh because Josh was so comfortable with his kids in the schools out here, Josh probably would have stayed had they made a significant effort to keep Josh. So, in my opinion, I don't blame them for letting Josh go because I think they knew, okay, it's time for this guy to bet on himself. Like, sometimes you need to get out of the way of someone for them to flourish. Right. And I think that's what happened there with McDaniels. And I get the Raiders as a perennial Super Bowl contender. I think McDaniels was ahead of the game, like where the game has changed now. It's more offensive. You know, your McVays, other young coaches are regarded as the better coaches in the league now. I think Josh can be in that upper echelon now. I really do. And he's smartly delegated to his other coaches, too. He's not trying to do it all.
No. I mean,
look at Belichick, you know, at the end of the day, he's trying to do it all.
Look at the Raiders. They had the top wide receiver in the league. They have a really good running back system in Josh Jacobs. They have probably the top third best tight end in the league in Darren Waller. Their defense,
Hunter Renfrow, a guy who would be perfect here in that Edelman Welker role. You know, good running backs. All in all, like they have a solid squad, decent defense, bringing Chandler Jones, other guys. So I'm very encouraged with the Raiders this year.
Yeah, they got Brandon Bolden from us. They got Jakob Johnson, a fullback, and
enough. They just brought enough guys to teach what Josh McDaniels wanted to teach. Right. And enough Patriots lost to rip off the Band-Aid and start this new, you know, way they're doing things. And quite frankly, I don't know if it's jiving.
I'll tell you this much. The Raiders are doing a whole lot better job than what the Patriots are doing.
They had this question on the on our competition yesterday. Would you rather be the Raiders right now or the Patriots? I'd much rather be the Raiders right now. Their talent, their coaching staff, no doubt about it. I know you still have Belichick, but the rest of the coaching staff is questionable to say the very least.
I mean, sure, Derek Carr is a very questionable quarterback, and he's only, like, you know, been in the playoffs a couple of times. But, you know, I'd rather have a team with Devontae, Darren Waller, and Josh Jacobs than a team with, you know, unknown guys like Warren Aguilar, Devontae Parker, and Damian Harris, and Hunter Henry.
Harris may be a guy who is traded. That wouldn't shock me either. That rumor has been out there. I love Damian Harris, but you're changing your scheme. The scheme you're changing to doesn't necessarily fit Damian's running style. He's also a guy who, you know, he gets hurt. He has a very vicious running style. And if you could get something for him, I'm okay with that. I'm not convinced that Stevenson's going to be. I'm kind of on the fence at this point. I haven't seen a lot from Stevenson this preseason and training camp to hedge my bets on him. But, you know, with Harris, if you can get something for him, I'm perfectly okay with that.
As long as we get someone good in return, as long as we don't get a step up more deal, kind of like, you know, trading our top.
I'd do it for a fourth round pick. That's a valuable pick. I wouldn't do it for a sixth or seventh, but I'd do it for a third or fourth.
Well, I'd want to get, like, a good running back in return, because if we lose Damian Harris, we only have Ramondre Stevenson and J.J. Taylor. And, you know, Ramondre Stevenson's a great back, but I'm not trusting J.J. Taylor or any of the other running backs that we have right now.
Yeah, J.J. Taylor's too undersized, and the rookie running backs haven't really popped much. Well, again, we've seen the Patriots trade studs without much of a backup plan in the past, so it would not shock me. Am I advocating for it? Do I want Harris traded? No.
No.
But I wouldn't rule it out either.
Well, here's the thing. Don't forget, in the beginning of the season, Joe, we did have talks with Leonard Fournette before he signed a deal with the, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's a guy that I wouldn't have minded playing for the Patriots because, you know, if we got Leonard Fournette, then I could understand the situation the Patriots would be in with trading Damian Harris. And I'd be like, okay.
They also counted on James White, who, you know, retired recently. And that was – we felt – even funny about that, even at the time. They also brought in Ty Montgomery. So I think Montgomery is going to be that guy to kind of step into the Brandon Bolden / James White third down back role from what I've seen so far.
I think Montgomery and Jonnu Smith are going to have a great season for the Patriots. I think that, you know, Jonnu Smith is like due for a great season because they didn't really use him as
much. He needs to. The money he's making, he needs to.
Like, you know, as long
you
as
cannot rationalize paying him Greg – George Kittle level money if he's gonna, you know, be dropping balls left and right. He needs to have a big year.
Right. And I love
10 touchdowns, 70 catches, 1,000 yards, that level kind of year.
Right. And I love this Patriots team. You know, they didn't really change much. They got a new wide receiver in Devontae Parker, and I think he could be a standout player. You know, yes, he's wearing Nikhil Harry's number in one, but I really think that he'd have a good season.
Well, we're just happy Nikhil Harry is not walking through that door anymore. Have fun with that, Chicago.
Well, we will be seeing him in not even a couple of weeks because we play the Bears and they come down to Gillette Stadium. And
that's a winnable game also. That's definitely a winnable game. No disrespect to my guy Smash. Was a huge Chicago Bears fan. My boy JT Ice also. But, yeah, I don't see the Bears being a factor in that division. Like I said, I'm high on the Lions, and maybe I'm just drinking that blue Kool-Aid. But
I mean, I think we could win. The Lions, the Bears, you know, some people are saying that we could take one out of one from the Jets. I mean, come on, it's the Jets. Like, you know, they didn't really get anyone surprising. They had a great draft. Woohoo. They got the best cornerback, wide receiver back in the draft. But, you know, other than that, Joe, that team really doesn't scare me at all.
The fact that, to me, the Jets being good was going to be contingent on Wilson taking a giant step forward. And the injury in training camp has not encouraged me that he's going to.
No, exactly. You know, they were saying that Flacco was the better quarterback in training camp for the Jets.
That's not a good sentence right there.
No, and, you know, I know I've said this so many times on the pod, but, you know, Zach Wilson is not looking like a number two drafted quarterback in the first round. Mac Jones has been looking like a, first round number two.
Well, of the quarterbacks drafted last year, Mac had the best year. You know, Lawrence – work in progress. Probably people would consider him to be the most upside, but certainly the situation in Jacksonville was not good for him last year. We'll see if he can bounce back this year. Fields, he came on late, but I'm not encouraged that he's going to be something special, at least not yet. I don't think they have the weapons for that just yet, and I worry that he could get dinged up running around without the weapons that he needs. So I think the great question is Trey Lance. What is he going to be? Is, you know, he going to reward Shanahan for going with him and essentially washing his hands of Jimmy G, a quarterback who did take him to the Super Bowl in multiple playoff runs?
I mean, as a 49ers fan, you must be pumped and excited to see what Trey Lance can do for the team.
It's a bittersweet feeling. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm like Dan from Cranston levels, Jimmy G fanboy. As a matter of fact, at the end of the season last year, I probably felt about Jimmy G like you felt about Josh McDaniels, my level of frustration with him, especially certain games in the playoffs. And, you know, I felt like it was time to move on. You drafted the quarterback anyway. But the problem is you still have him there. I don't know why they didn't draft him. I don't know why they're playing this game with him. Maybe they're praying that some big-name quarterback gets hurt and they can shop him for a king's ransom. I don't know. But how they're doing Jimmy, I think he deserves better. But at the same time, I do think they had to hand the reins over to Trey Lance. I feel like Ayuk could be a guy who benefits from Trey Lance. He's been all offseason, where Debo, of course, had his little holdout he had there. So I wouldn't be stunned if Ayuk could be a very, you know, an upgrade from his production last year. And he actually came on late in the second half last year after struggling in the first half. Actually had more receiving yards and targets than Deebo Samuel in the second half of the year in the games that they played. You know, obviously Deebo was getting some running plays too, but in terms of passing, Ayuk was more targeted player than Deebo in the second half of the year.
No, exactly. I mean, you got to be pumping excited that, you know, Debo's actually, you know, coming back, you know, this season after him saying that, you know, he wanted to be.
I'm stunned that he signed the incentive-laden contract. I mean, he's betting on himself, and I give him credit, but that's not a contract that most players would want to sign. If you remember, Brady was forced to sign an incentive-laden contract towards the end, and I think that was one of the big moves in the timeline that hedged Tom Brady to leave New England.
I mean, to be honest, I felt like there was no deal that the 49ers could do to send him away, and it would be kind of weird not to see Deebo on the team. That was probably one of the situations, like maybe, like, you know.
With the Niners, you're all in to try to compete for a championship. You weren't in a position to strip it like Tennessee stripped it by trading A.J. Brown, where they had been in the playoff mix. Now, Tennessee is a team I have on the downward spiral. Like people are expecting Derrick Henry to be his usual beast mode self, where he's coming off some bad injuries, and I don't know how that's going to affect him. I'll tell you what, I don't have him in my first round of fantasy projections. I will say that. And you know someone's going to draft him in the first round of fantasy.
Right. To be honest, I really don't have the Tennessee Titans going anywhere this season. After losing out on Julio Jones and, you know, training away on, you know, A.J. Brown, basically losing, you know, I know Julio Jones basically didn't do anything for the Titans, but yeah, they got Robert Woods from the Rams, but I really still don't think that, you know, they're going to do anything.
No, I think Tennessee takes a huge step back. I think that division's indies to lose, quite frankly, between Jonathan Taylor probably going to be the best running back in the league, Matt Ryan being the best quarterback they've had there since Andrew Luck at the very least. I think I'm expecting Indy to be in the mix, certainly.
I think so, too. I have them winning the division.
You know, they're in a division with Houston, with Jacksonville. That's a Tennessee. Tennessee's been their only threat in that division. If they take two steps back, Colts take two steps forward.
Right. And, you know, with them getting a really great cornerback in Stephon Gilmore, they upped their defense up a lot. So I really think this team is going to basically ball out this year. And, you know, I'm excited to see Stephon Gilmore back, you know, against the Patriots to see how well he can do, you know, with Mac Jones. He threw an interception against Carolina to Stephon Gilmore. So hopefully, you know, that scheme will change up. So I'm excited to see what the Colts can do against us. You know, will they absolutely put a goose egg against us, or will they destroy us? I hope that I'm wrong with both of them.
They destroyed us last year. Now, that was the game that really started the downward spiral, that game after the bye week. That horrific loss to the Colts that just felt like you got your block knocked off in that game.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the downward spiral ensued after that.
Yeah, after that Jonathan Taylor run, we knew that, you know, that was the game. Third down and 10, and then we just couldn't stop them, and then the rest was history.
But even, I mean, I give the Patriots credit for fighting back in the fourth quarter to where it took a Jonathan Taylor run to win the game, but those first 2.5 quarters, we got our ass smoked.
We did.
It was, quite frankly, embarrassing. That was one of the more embarrassing games I watched. Besides maybe the playoff loss to Buffalo.
Who was it? I think it was Pittman and who was it? Mills that got ejected during that game?
Yeah. Pittman and Mills.
Yeah.
I remember I had Pittman on my fantasy team, and I was not happy to get ejected from that game.
I mean, I really think that this team is going to surprise everyone that they ejected it to. So I really think that the Titans are going to be on a decrease, and, you know, this Colts team is going to surprise everyone, as you expected.
Oh yeah, they're on my teams that could be a contender in the AFC, no doubt about it.
I mean, teams out in the West and the East. I mean, this is going to be an exciting football season. Basically, it's a toss up in the AFC. Like, you know, you don't know like who's exactly going to.
Well, one sport that we know isn't a toss up is the NBA. And I'm very happy that it looks like the Celtics are going to run it back and not tear apart their team to go after Kevin Durant.
I'm happy about that.
The news this week that Durant and the Nets have apparently sat down and they're all in to try to make it work, which is funny because 2 weeks ago, Durant wanted Nash and Marks gone. So that's going to be a little awkward in that locker room.
I mean, what a season it is. I mean, what an offseason it's been for Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets. Wanting to be traded, you know, the Celtics were – I heard the closest trade that the Celtics gave the Brooklyn Nets was Derek White, Jaylen Brown, draft picks.
At the end of the day, I'm glad we're not trading Jaylen Brown. You know, the media guide came out last week with Brown and Tatum both on it. Felger was convinced that that was the sign that Brown was staying. And you give Felger credit. He's not right with everything, but I think he was right with that prognostication. Because come to find out, now this trade's it must have fell through. That must have been the last chance they had to trade Durant, quite frankly, was in Boston.
Because, I mean, you have people like Phoenix, Miami, probably.
And at the end of the day, you're doing Brooklyn a favor by taking Durant when Durant didn't want to be there. And who knows if Durant was going to pull that crap here. We don't know.
Right. I mean, you never know if he was going to get injured, if he was going to be out for the season, you know, because, you know, sure, it would have been great to have KD here, but I'd rather go with the young guys.
I think it would have been great to draft KD if we ended up getting the number 2 overall pick when we ended up getting 3 and 5 and ended up trading for Garnett and Allen. I think it would have been great to get Kevin Durant then when he was still young, impressionable. Danny Ainge could have, you know, been that father figure for him as the GM. You know, and that Kevin Durant, you know, he's a headache to deal with. He's turned into someone who, you know, there's always a distraction, whether it's his social media activity or, you know, he's been injury prone the last couple of years. I'm convinced he'll, you know, that offensive shot will always be there. Yeah, he's a better dribbler than Jaylen Brown, we'll say that. Although he had just as many turnovers as Jaylen Brown, thanks to that Celtic defense. But I'm glad. We went and got Gallinari. We went and got Brogdon. You know, keep Time Lord. Keep this team intact. I'm excited to what they're going to look like. And I think I am much more comfortable in this team running it back with the team that was this close to winning the NBA Finals than bringing in Kevin Durant. And, you know, again, that Mr. Can't Beat Him, Join Him wants to join another team that beat him in the playoffs in the Boston Celtics. To quote my boy Stone Cold Steve Austin, ain't going to happen, son. Stay your ass in Brooklyn.
No, I'd rather have, you know, KD in Brooklyn and, you know, work it out for the next boys. Well, he's under contract for another one. 4 years, if I'm correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let KD stay with his boy Kyrie. You know, probably Kyrie's going to opt out. Probably come next season. And probably KD is going to either stay with Brooklyn or look elsewhere, to be honest.
Well, he's under contract for 4 more seasons. So, it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out in Brooklyn this year.
And speaking of bumping heads, did you hear Pat Beverly is traded to the L.A. Lakers?
I did hear that right before we started the podcast. That's a good move for the Lakers. He's a chippy, championship-level defensive player, almost like a Marcus Smart type of player. And I think that'll – you know, the Lakers need some toughness, no doubt about it.
I mean, I like the trade, don't get me wrong. You know, they got rid of, you know – what was it? Someone Tucker, and you know they have Pat Beverly now, but
yeah, ancillary pieces. The interesting thing is you still have Russ, you still have, you know, the whole team intact from last year. So I wonder if they have Pat Beverly come in to essentially run the point guard and move Russ to the off guard, kind of like how the Atlanta Hawks are look like they're going to do it now by trading for the young point guard from San Antonio, probably moving Trae Young to the off guard. Wouldn't be shocked if they do that. Russ is the point guard. At this point, ain't going to work.
No. In my opinion. I feel like the Lakers need to.
But maybe if you put him in a shooting guard role at this stage in his career, he'd be more comfortable in that role.
Well, I feel like the Lakers need to do a little bit more. You know, sure, having LeBron, AD, and LeBron just signed a 2-year deal with the Lakers, I think, last week. So I really think.
Yeah, 2-year extension.
Yeah.
Or if that guarantees the Lakers drafting Bronny. As he said, he wanted to play with Bronny. We'll see if another team drafts him in a couple of years. You know, if that influences LeBron in finishing his career in L.A.
Right. I mean,
they had that big L.A. documentary coming out too, which I believe on Hulu, which LeBron is part of.
Oh, really? Yeah,
Like a documentary on the history of the Lakers, from the Showtime Lakers, the Kobe and Shaq, the current day.
Yeah, I still feel like the Lakers need a little bit more pieces. I mean, yeah, they don't have Carmelo right now, but I don't think
it's really... Kevin Durant wants Melo in Brooklyn.
I mean, that wouldn't be a bad idea for, you know, Melo to go with and play with a better guy in, you know, Kevin Durant.
I think it'd be ironic all his time with the Knicks that he would end up essentially finishing his career in New York City if he does end up in Brooklyn.
I mean, I'm glad teams are giving Melo a shot. It's basically like his basically last hurrah. Basically what he's trying to do Melo right now, because right now Melo is washed. We all know he's not prime Melo on the Nuggets or on the Knicks, but he's basically trying to win a ring, which he deserves.
I'm rooting for him. You know, he won a ring in college in the state of New York for Syracuse. Scott Cordish, he still remembers that fondly. Obviously, he's won gold medals with Team USA, but that championship still eludes Melo as he continues to play.
No, exactly. I really think that, you know, Melo deserves a ring, and if he goes to Brooklyn, then great. You know, Brooklyn has lost a lot of key pieces in Andre Drummond. You know, Patty Mills signed a deal there. I just think that they need a little bit more presence there. I don't know if they signed Blake Griffin yet. I think he's still a big out there.
I believe so.
Yeah, so I think that this Brooklyn team needs a little bit more depth. You know, they did lose a big in Andre Drummond. And I've been reading something, Joe, saying that Ben Simmons could be running the center right now for Brooklyn.
Well, let's see if Ben Simmons plays. That's the first thing you need to see is he going to play? He was on the Nets media guide. Kyrie was not, interestingly enough. And you wonder what's going to happen with Kyrie.
Right, I mean.
That situation has gone quiet, the Kyrie situation.
I know. I mean, ever since, like, you know, the Kevin Durant situation, like saying that Jaylen Brown could come here or whatnot. But I was also been hearing that, you know, the Lakers were still in the mix of trust for, you know, Kyrie. So that.
And that Pat Beverly move may be a move towards that direction.
Right.
Where, again, Beverly is more of a point guard. You know, where Kyrie, maybe you could have him kind of play the off guard like I'm pitching with Russ.
Right. It wouldn't be a bad situation for them to do. So
I think it's so funny that Kyrie, like the jilted ex-girlfriend that he is, wants to run back to his ex and LeBron after he couldn't wait to leave LeBron's shadow in Cleveland.
I bet he misses LeBron a lot more than he wants to play with Kevin Durant, to be honestly.
Yeah, at this point, that's a safe bet.
No, exactly, you know. It just seems, but you know, in my hindsight, I really think that Kevin Durant is a way better player than LeBron James is.
Well, he's younger, slightly younger.
Right. I mean, what KD is, what, 33, 34, if I'm correct?
Yeah. Well, LeBron's my age, 37. Right. He turned 38 in December, late December.
Yeah, I can't believe you're the same age as an NBA player. Jeez.
Yeah, bro, that's what I'm saying. Like all these players on the line, you know, all these coaches on the line. I remember them playing in the 90s. Your Aaron Glenn's, your the Washington sports since the early 90s, my friend.
Jeez. Can't make that stuff up. I mean,
facts.
I mean, hopefully LeBron James.
At least you're not doing a podcast with like a 77-year-old, Dev. You're doing it with a 37-year-old.
Right.
I remember Bill Russell and Kuzma.
Way back when in my day.
There's a few of those guys left. Not too many, but there's a few left.
Right, I mean, RIP to Bill Russell.
Great. Yes, absolutely. That can't be stated enough. I'm glad that the NBA is now, are they officially retiring number six, or are they just going to put the patch? They are officially retiring number six. That's good.
Which is a good thing, because I think that, you know, no one else should be wearing a number six other than Bill Russell.
I compare it to how baseball has done it with Jackie Robinson, and I think Russell is a comparable figure to Jackie Robinson and how important he was with the social justice movements of the 60s and 70s. And look, Russell, you know, he didn't have it easy playing in Boston when this town was old whitey town back in the day. So, Russell was a pioneer. Russell always handled his business with class. Even when maybe he wasn't feeling a certain kind of way about things, he still always handled things with class. And you got to give him nothing but credit in that regard.
Right, that's why I feel like, you know, the number 41, whenever, you know, Dirk retires or when Dirk, like, you know, passes on, I think 41 should be retired too.
I like the sentiment, but that's not going to happen. I mean, Dallas obviously will retire, right? But he's right. And probably in German leagues, but you can't. It's only 99 numbers unless you start doing, you know, like triple digits or decimal points or something. So at a certain point, you got to run out of numbers. It's like with the Yankees. Like, they've retired so many numbers. I worry they're going to run out of numbers, or even the Celtics.
No, that's why I think that the Celtics should win a championship for Bill Russell. Like, you know, next year is going to be the Bill Russell year where, you know.
Well, that's a good point. And that extra motivation, you know, that's not going to hurt the Celtic locker room.
No.
Not that we wanted to lose Bill Russell, but I do agree that will be a motivating factor in that locker room.
Right. And I think that, you know, when we do run it back, I think this team is, you know, prepared and ready. I think we have the odds of winning the championship.
If I'm Time Lord, I'm watching all the Bill Russell film I can get my hands on.
Oh, yeah. I think it's time for another.
You want a guy to emulate Bill Russell. There's a guy who, you know, don't just block the shot, go up and get the shot. You know, that was Bill Russell's mentality. He was drafted, you know, not to be a prime scorer, but to be a rebounder, to be a defender, and he always embraced that role. And that's what you hope to see out of Time Lord, not to compare him to Bill Russell. But, again, watch that film. Study up, young man, because that is the perfect big to watch with his style, even though it was a different game back then.
And the difference between this year and next year, we actually have a bench. Because, you know, you and I were talking about getting some solidified bench players. We traded for Malcolm Brogdon. We signed Danilo Gallinari. So we got some good bench pieces in those guys. So I think.
And I still think they can use one more big. I still feel that way.
Nah, I agree.
Especially if Time Lord gets hurt. You need some insurance.
I think you and I were talking about saying, like, maybe Howard wouldn't be a bad idea.
Is he still out there? I thought he got signed.
No, I don't think anyone has signed him yet. I haven't heard anything recently of the Dwight Howard saga. So I think he's still out there. And who's the point guard out of the Cavaliers is still out there. Colin Sexton is still out there.
Oh, we don't need Sexton. I think we're good at guard at this point. We're bringing in Brogdon.
I'm not saying that, you know, we actually need him. I was just like, you know, surprised.
Notable,
you know,
notable players who are still out there.
Right. I was just surprised that he's still out
there. Sexton's a guy who, I don't know if the injuries or what, he dropped very quickly in the power rankings of the best young player on Cleveland 3 years ago, and then Cleveland hit with a bunch of draft picks, and then Sexton got hurt, and, yeah, his stock really went down.
Yeah, you know, I just feel like that's, you know, he wouldn't be a bad player for, you know, another team that picks up, maybe, like, not like the Lakers, because they have Kemba Walker on their bench, too, so, you know.
Yeah, they just got Pat Beverly also.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they didn't improve much on size, but it's just like, you know, come on. But, like adding the players wouldn't be a bad idea.
No, I agree.
But, no, you know, what are your thoughts on your New York Yankees? You've been very hot recently right now.
Well, I was very critical this weekend on EEI. I was very nervous with those two matchups with the Mets. And come to those games, I watched the game on TBS Tuesday night, the majority of it. Good game. I'm just glad they took care of business against the Mets, because I thought that could really pile drive them into a tailspin, which they were already in a tailspin. Finally, Judge got off of his schneid, hitting his 48th the other day also. So I am encouraged with the Yankees. Montas finally having a good start also. That was encouraging. So I'm encouraged this week. Our own John Mita Perel on EEI felt like, you know, Boone's seat could be getting very hot. And I'm agreeing with that statement. I think the Yankees not only need to win the division, hold off Toronto, win the division, which the Red Sox aren't helping us out there. I'll let you get to that in a minute. But I think they need to get to the World Series. You know, I binge-watched all 7 episodes of The Captain recently, the documentary on Derek Jeter. Beautiful documentary. You being a baseball historian and fan, I'm sure you would appreciate that documentary. Very well done. It's on ESPN, on ESPN. Very well done. 7-part documentary. And, you know, Jeter was talking about towards the end of, like, you know, when they got back to the World Series in whatever it was, 08, 09, that it had been about a 5-6 year drought since he had been to the World Series when they lost to the Marlins in 03 and lost to Arizona in 01. Well, that drought's awfully long now. They haven't even been to the ALCS since they lost to the Houston a couple years ago, and they're still crying over spilled milk over that.
Right.
This team needs to get to the World Series. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and if they don't, bye-bye, boom.
I agree. You know,
Boone trying to act like a – maybe they actually responded to his little rant after the loss Saturday night where he did his best Dennis Green impression, pounding his hand on the table.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of memes going around with that, making sound of that. But, you know, my Red Sox are not looking too good, Joe. You know, 7 games out of the wild card with not even, 35 games left. And, you know, this team is – I'm sorry to say this as a Red Sox fan, but this team is absolutely pathetic in its – absolute joke, having injuries left and right, losing players, we lost on Christian Vasquez during the trade deadline, and I think that's really hurting the Red Sox right now. Yeah, losing Vasquez, and sure, Reese McGuire has been doing great, Tommy Finn's been doing great, Osborne has been up and down, but
the problem was they could have made these moves earlier. Fam talked about having interest in coming to Boston in the offseason. Why didn't that happen? Hosmer is the guy you could have got 2 years ago, and you haven't had a first baseman really since Moreland 2 years ago. So it's too little, too late.
Yeah. As a Boston Red Sox fan, this really kills me to say this, but, I'm basically doing a Bill Belichick next season. It's sad to say that, but,
It's hard not to feel that way at this point. Scott Cordisci has been calling them the Dead Sox for weeks now. Yep. I mean – they're the Walking Dead, that's for sure. They ain't officially out of it, and they could sneak in. That's the thing is, with the wild card being so wide open, they can still sneak in one of these wild card series, but it ain't looking good.
No. I mean, last night was just so terrible. We lost an extra inning, so we had to put Bobby Dolbeck as a shortstop because Dolbeck was hurt. Tommy was hurt, too, Christian Arroyo. So it's just you basically have your three first basemen, one playing first. Frenchy Cordero, I'll say this much. I've been bashing Frenchy a lot on this podcast, but ever since coming up, he's been actually doing not too bad for the Boston Red Sox. He's hit 2 home runs. Last night he hit a home run for us, and the one in the Little League World Classic, he hit one too.
I'm just glad Benintendi had a big night for the Yanks Tuesday night, because he'd really been struggling since being acquired from Kansas City.
Yeah, what do you do? He hit his first home run since being traded, finally. It took him
long. Yeah, and had the game-winning hit in the 8th inning also.
Good, good. I mean, that Subway Series my friend was at. Kudos to the Yankees for beating the Mets. That's always a great, series all the time.
See, that's the one thing is that the ghost of George still motivates them when it comes to beating the Mets. Watching that Jeter documentary – of the 4 championships they won in the late 90s, the one against the Mets, Steinbrenner was probably the most invested because it was the championship in New York on the line.
Right.
So I know Hal Steinbrenner, Hal and Hank are more reserved than their father was, but you got to feel that they are very motivated to, take care of business.
I mean, it would be really sad and demoralizing, to see the Yankees, collapse and not do well in the postseason.
I was worried of chicken and beer vibes. That's what this team was starting to scare me as of Saturday night, Sunday, when we were on the air, for the weekend programming at EEI. So am I more encouraged than I was Sunday morning? Yes, I am. But 3 games does not, erase the horrific losing streak they were on and skid they were on, rather. So to continue this push through September, they can't have a bad September. They need to finish strong. They need to get one of those first 2 spots, not only win the American League East, but the first 2 division winners by record get the bye week, get the bye in the first on the wild card round, if you will, where the division winner with the 3rd best record, they'll have to play in that wild card round. So it really does behoove the Yankees to, the Astros are going to be ahead of them, so be it. But they need to stay ahead of everyone else in the American League.
I'm cheering hard for it because I know Red Sox won't make the wild card for the Seattle Mariners and for the Baltimore Orioles. I really hope that they have really surprising seasons.
It's stunning that Baltimore sold Mancini, sold their closer, and they're still right there in the mix. They have a good young team.
I'm surprised of how well this team's doing. I would expect them to be like, you know.
And it seems like they're going to be in the mix going forward.
Yeah. I mean, they have a better team right now, you know, the Boston Red Sox right now. But Rafael and Andrew Bogarts are not looking like, you know, players that want to make this team into a playoff team. So it's going to be one of those two teams that probably pull up and make it.
I agree, Def. I agree.
I couldn't agree more, man.
We put, you know, we saw two great games with the Yankees and Mets. That's my dream World Series. I, you know, lived through it in the year 2000. Would love to see it again.
I would hope that it would happen again. I would hope, you know, I'm rooting for Yankees versus Mets World Series, but
as am I, sir. As am I.
I mean, I would cheer for the Mets because the Mets are my second favorite MLB team, but I think it would be a good series, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that I think it'll be a better series than in 2000 when the Yankees won in five games, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys are waiting for Matt Carpenter and Giancarlo, one of your biggest hitters, to come back.
Giancarlo Stanton's missed at least a month now. What is his injury? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, I forgot, but I just heard that, you know, he was just put on a 15-day or 60-day deal or whatever, so – I don't know when he's coming back, and same with Carpenter. And he's been a surprise for you guys, which I'm very pleased for.
The power of the stash, my friend. That stash emanates 80s vibes for the New York Yankees. So I attribute it all to his tremendous mustache.
No, and I can't wait for you know, the postseason to be done with so that we can where could Xander and Aaron Judge be going?
Oh, yeah, those are big questions, both Bogarts and Judge, big-time free agents. I asked Scott Cordisci last week on Cordisci and Coit. I wouldn't be shocked if Xander actually opts into his final 3 years because he really hasn't had that great of a year. Almost similar to how JD opted in to his final year of his contract last year.
I wouldn't be surprised either, Chris. I don't think teams want to be looking at a person that hits only 10 home runs this season and absolutely, like, you know, poops the bed, you know?
To be the bigger concern is Devers, and you need to take care of him.
I feel like we're going to take care of Devers. And, you know, I know you're going to hate me when I say this, but I feel like Aaron Judge could be on his way to Boston. I think.
No, Dev, I don't hate you because I'm a realist, and I know he grew up in Boston. At the end of the day, you know, if the Yankees offer him a truckload of money, that's hard to refuse. You know, Felger's been saying, you know, if you pay, they stay. Aaron Rodgers was miserable in Green Bay. They paid him, he stayed, even though he lost his two best receivers in Scalding and Adams. So, you know, if they pay Aaron Judge, look how important Judge has been to them, especially with their injuries to Stanton and others. I think they're going to pay him, but that's how I feel today, Thursday, you know, August 27th. We'll see how I feel tomorrow.
Right, because I really think that it's basically World Series or Aaron Judge. Because I feel like if you guys win the World Series, I think that's going to make Aaron Judge stay with you guys forever. But if you guys don't and you're out, say, the first round.
I love your optimism on that, but at the end of the day, it comes down to getting paid. Brady won six championships here, but the Patriots weren't paying him to the level he wanted to get paid. And that wasn't even on the level of some of these quarterback contracts. Brady just wanted that 2-for-50 like that Drew Brees was getting in the Saints.
No, exactly. I don't know. I just have this optimism that Aaron Judge could be going or he could be safe. I just still have that feeling during.
And I'm not ruling out the Dodgers either. You know, we know how vicious they are in terms of paying free agents and getting big names. So I'm certainly not ruling out the Dodgers either.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. And it seems like the Angels are going to be all into selling. So maybe Mike Trout could be going to the Dodgers too. So, you know, it's going to be.
That the draft, the compensatory draft pick that the Yankees sent to Anaheim in regards to acquiring Mark Teixeira back in the day was the draft rights to Trout?
Really? I did not know about that, no.
Although we won a championship with Teixeira, Trout has barely sniffed playoff success in over a decade long in the majors Hall of Fame level career.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, man. I mean, it's going to be that way. It seems like it.
Devin, what's the TikTok act this week, brother? We were off last week. What's the growth in the past 2 weeks?
We had 63K, my brother.
63,000 followers on TikTok. Unbelievable. You are the man, Devin.
Yes, sir, man. And I appreciate you for taking over my shift this weekend, as I will be in Washington watching the Nationals play.
Oh, yeah. Nice busy weekend for me. I got Country Fest Night 1 tomorrow night. Got to be there nice and early. Country Fest Night 2 Saturday night after the shift with Cordy Sheehan and Coit and Mark and Ben. And then, of course, Meter, Perel, and Coach Sunday morning. I'm very relieved that Rob is available to work that Red Sox game Sunday afternoon, because I was penciled in to work that. However, Rob is now available, and I got a busy-ass weekend with all these country fests and everything going on. So I'm very grateful that Rob has stepped up, and I'm grateful that you have stepped up, and you're going to be filling in for Meter and Coach on days where I have 1 o'clock games.
That is
maybe
correct.
You could shadow me on the 11th. Or something the week before. That way, you know, you get familiar with them. And sometimes they'll text throughout the week if they need to be on Zoom or something. So we'll get you all plugged up with them. You know, maybe the 11th. That'll be the kickoff of NFL football also.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll be doing a Cordish and Coit on January 1st.
Yeah. I'll be kicking off the new year doing a double. I appreciate that, as I'll be at Gillette that Saturday morning, a rare Saturday game for me.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Yeah, they got Christmas Eve at 1 o'clock. That's a Sunday. And New Year's Day at 1 o'clock. That's a Saturday.
Wow, geez. They're going to be working you like a horse that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be loving
that's okay. That's okay. Gas ain't cheap, and neither is Manny.
I mean, hopefully that's when the gas prices go down or what.
Well, they're starting to balance out a little bit. Yeah, here's the home schedule. That you can hear Devin on Sunday mornings. Sunday the 25th actually is so maybe the 18th you can come in. Sunday the 25th is the first home game, or the 11th, whatever works for you better. Then not the 9th Detroit, the Monday night game. We don't even cover Patriot Monday night games anyway, so it shouldn't affect. Same thing with the Thursday night game against Buffalo, December 1st. But yeah, Sunday the 20th against the Jets. Sunday the 6th against the Colts. So it's not too many, Dev. And then the only other ones is, like I said, Saturday, Christmas Eve. Oh, no, it's Saturday. That's the Saturday of the Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And then Sunday is the January 1st is the Sunday.
Makes sense. Sounds like a plan.
All right, Dev, but episode 68 in the books. We are hedging towards the cool number 69. Next week, we'll do a big football preview, and these pennant races start to get to the nitty-gritty with a month to go in baseball. We'll have our updates on that, where the Yanks are at, where the Sox are at. Devin, tremendous work as always, my friend. Looking forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you enjoy your time in Washington, D.C. You're catching a Nationals game, or what are you doing out there?
Catching the Nationals game, my first ever Nationals game.
Ah, very nice. Our guy Jason Jasnowski, I believe he's been out there for some Nationals games. He actually has a fondness for the Nationals, especially Steven Strasburg is one of his favorite players. So enjoy.
I will for sure. I will inform you guys about it on episode number 69, Giggity.
All right. Oh, well, Deb, you have a phenomenal evening. And thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 68 of the DPP. And we'll talk to you next week for episode 69er. Have a good one, everybody.